Welcome to the Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me, I have a very special guest. Vince Del Monte is a good friend of mine, and a lot of people listening probably already know about Vince. And this is going to be a three-part series, and Vince is going to be walking us through a 5 or 6 year run at his life competing as a fitness figure and now physique model. We'll get into even the categories in a minute. So this is going to be a really good series. Today's the first of three interviews, and we're going to cover, we're just going to start at the beginning, how Vince even got into all of this, and what his contest prep has been like in the past, and we'll eventually get all the way up to present day and how he's preparing for his next show. So, you want to just get into it?
Yeah, just do that, bud. And thanks for having me, first off. For those who don't know, I'm a huge fan of Brad, and John, and I actually put back like 30 hours of their free podcast while I was doing my cardio in Florida and prep for my last show. So I'm fully in tune with the content here, and I'm happy to be here.
All right. And I'm glad to have you. So, let's do a little bit of a brief background, because I don't know that I've ever heard you being interviewed in this way. So how did you even start into the concept of weight training? Like, where'd you...
Yeah, so
the real Cole's notes here.
Okay, cool. So I got into I would call weight training with the intention of building muscle and transforming my body when I was 22 years of age. That was in Guelph, right after I graduated from the University of Western Ontario. I got a 4-year degree, and that's also the same time my running career ended. So important to note that I was a competitive national level runner. I was a captain on my university team. I was a competitive runner ever since I can remember, early high school days, all through university. So I basically got into weight training with the intention of transforming my body 9 years ago when I was 22 years of age. Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't even realize you were that accomplished as a runner. So you obviously had the drive to do something. You just switch what it is you were doing.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that too, because, you know, when I tell you how my transformation, when I tell people my transformation, a lot of critics, you know, say, oh, that's impossible, but they don't know the context of my transformation. And I did come from a competitive background, and I was very familiar with, you know, hard work, discipline, and I was very, very familiar with the what we call the pain zone or the hurt box. So I was ready.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so you basically just subbed the pain for running with the pain for training.
Yeah, basically I transferred everything I'd put into my running into the gym, into the weight training. So it's also important to note, well, we can talk about that when I tell you about my transformation, but yeah, I had a lot of winning variables, winning elements ready for the gym, let's put it that way.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. That makes sense. All right, so then what was your first workout? Like, how'd you even, walk in and start picking up weights, or where'd you get your ideas?
You know what? I was reading a lot of the muscle magazines like everybody else in university. And, I was fortunate to meet somebody at my church in Guelph actually. And he was a provincial level bodybuilder. He could never go pro because he was drug free. He was in his 40s, but the guy looked like he was in his 20s. And this guy was like just shredded. And, I basically befriended this guy and started asking him all about everything you can imagine, pretty much everything a beginner asks an expert on how to build muscle. And everything he started telling me was different than what I was reading in the magazines. And he basically, you know, set me on the right path. He introduced me to full body workouts, variable rep ranges, lower volume, completely new way of eating. You know, as a runner, we lived on Kraft dinner, bagels, and Gatorade. I never even heard of protein. I never ate protein at all. He introduced me to the whole concept of eating, you know, frequent meal feedings every few hours. And so basically everything changed. I went from running 60 to 100 miles a week to not running at all, to training properly in the gym with weights, to never having any weight training exposure at all. And, you know, my body responded, and I guess you could call a pretty drastic rebound response. So, he was basically my bodybuilding 101 coach, and mm-hmm. he taught me how to do it naturally. And basically I did everything he told me to do, and I transformed my body pretty drastically in the first 6 months.
Oh yeah, and I've seen your pictures. So, Now, so you said you weren't really following the traditional splits that you see in magazines and all that stuff, so it sounded like it got you off on the right foot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you even have a recollection of what the general setup was? Like, how often were you going?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was usually every other day, so 3 to 4. I went, like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, then Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So every 48 hours, I was back in the gym. And that concept made sense to me at the time, too, because as a runner, you know, we wouldn't jump up to, say, the 1,500 or the 3,000 until we improved our 800 time. You know what I'm saying? So we wouldn't try and run a faster 800, or we wouldn't try to run a faster 800 until we ran a faster 400. So the entire concept of low volume, high intensity made sense to me. To me, it didn't make sense to do 12 sets on my chest if I couldn't do 4 quality sets first. Mm-hmm. So when he explained this all to me, I was like, oh, this makes sense. Oh, this is going to be easy, you know. So I never really, you know, I did get set off on the right track, and it made sense to my running background. So that whole concept of work, you know, doing as much work as possible in as little amount of time as possible and increasing the quality before the quantity, all that stuff made a lot of sense to me. So that's why I really bought into the full body workouts, and everybody else was doing other things. You know, I think a big thing with transformation is believing in what you're doing. And I was fully sold on what I was doing, so I was able to put all my effort into it. I never got distracted by what my buddies were doing.
Yeah, and actually, I remember when I first started training, that social pressure, too. I remember I kind of was I just consumed a lot of information, and I quickly gravitated to a full-body approach at the beginning. Because what I was gathering, it sounds similar to you. I didn't have a mentor or coach. I just kind of read a lot. And I kind of got to the point where I was like, I don't think the bodybuilding splits that I read in the magazine, I don't think I can go in and do 30 sets of chest today. That doesn't really make any sense to me. So I couldn't believe people were doing that. I'm like, aren't you sore for like the whole week? And so I gravitated to a full body thing too. And did you not feel like a lot of pressure? I mean, you said you didn't pay attention to it, but I remember everyone else looking at me going, why are you training that way?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny now that I've consumed way more information. It's funny, like you said, I remember you and Brad talking about information inversely being related to action. The more you consume, the less you can take action on. Mm-hmm. And it's so true. Fortunately for me, I wasn't taking in any other info than what I was getting from my coach. I put all my trust in him. And I saw them do, you know, I guess what I was thinking was what I'm doing now is working. And my whole thought process, so I was kind of trying to figure this out, was I'll first start off with full body workouts, maximize those. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do a 2-day split, and then I'll maximize that. And then I'll do a 3-day split and maximize that. And then I'll do a 4-day split, and then I'll do a 5-day split. And in my mind, I was thinking this could be like a 3-4-5-year process. So one thing that a lot of people don't understand about me is I'm very, very focused, and I have a long-term vision on everything I do. So I was like, even if I don't get to these 5-day-a-week programs until a few years from now, I'm going to make sure I progress there, you know, step by step, or, you know, sort of inch-by-inch approach instead of yard-by-yard approach.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the way it's supposed to work. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of beginners who start at the 5-day split, and I'm like, man, you're 5 to 7 years away from a 5-day split. There's no reason. Only I think the most advanced people can really pull off the 5-day split and get anything out of it.
Right.
At least from what I can tell.
Yeah.
That's a good intro to how you got into this. So how many? Let's get on to what the meat of this is, how you prepared for your first show, and we're going to get into all your shows. How many years into training were you before you started your first show and you tried your first show?
That's a good question. Yeah, so it was I was 22 when I got into weight training. It was 3 years later. So for those 3 years, I used to always go down to Toronto, and there was an organization called FAME, Federation called FAME, and they have these big fitness model figure bodybuilding shows, and they had the big expos at the Toronto Metro Convention Center. And I went every single year, and every time I watched the male fitness models get on stage, I was like, I should do this. I could do this. These guys look good. I could look like this. And one of my best buddies – competed every year, and he always did well. And I'm like, so it's just one of those things that kind of caught the competition bug. You know, the more you the more you watch them, the more you start wondering, maybe I could do this. So 3 years later, I decided to do the show in Toronto. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yeah, I've helped coach some people through a show, and I get that that's how it works. You're kind of, you're sitting there and you look at them, you imagine, then you see yourself and you're like, wait a minute, these guys aren't any further ahead than I am. I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you decide, okay, so then you decide you're going to do a fame show, right?
So yeah, I decided to do the fame show, and you know, I should also put this in perspective. When I was 22, I pursued a career as a personal trainer. So I got a kinesiology degree, and the only thing I could see myself doing was something in the fitness industry. I didn't know whether it was management or personal training or what, but I love the fitness industry. I was just fascinated with helping people transform their bodies, especially after I transformed my own body. So I was also motivated to, you know, look better, to improve my personal training business. You know, I always believe that, you know, if you look better, it's easy to sell your services and that, and people would come to you instead of me having to sell people stuff. So I was also motivated to kind of add this piece to my resume and to, you know, I was fascinated with obviously maybe trying to help somebody get ready for their first fitness show. So before I do that, I had to do it myself.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, so speaking of the help, did you have anybody coaching you through this first show?
this is kind of funny. Actually, I was dating a girl at the time, and she was a fitness model. And I guess you could call her my coach because I like to eat, John. And for those who don't know, I'm Italian, and I love to eat. So the diet is brutally hard for me. Not so much now, but I remember, like, so many things that I thought were okay, and it was kind of scary because I was starting to become more and more like my dad throughout the entire prep. Everything I looked at, I thought, can I eat this? Can I eat that? And she's like, no, you can't eat this. You can't eat that. You can't eat this. So I really learned, you know, you got to get freaking serious if you're going to get up on stage. You know, you can't mess around. So I guess I remember one night we went to the movies. I thought I had plenty of time and I was going to go get popcorn. And she's like, no, I brought us protein bars. And the movies for me is like a ritual. Like I get a big bag of popcorn and huge Coke and the M&Ms. I do it all up. And she had brought protein bars and I was like, what? And I ate a protein bar. I finished it before the previews even started. And I was like, So yeah,
it's,
I mean,
totally unsatisfying, eh, yeah, when you're at the movies.
And you know, we were going to restaurants and stuff together, and we started going to Swiss Chalet instead of restaurants that I would have picked. And I'm like, you know, she's telling them to hold the bread. I never ever heard anybody hold the bread before, and mm-hmm. You know, asking for extra vegetables instead of the starch. And I'm like, what? So it was. Anyways, yeah, you get the point. I mean, yeah, I wasn't ready for the diet component of it.
Yeah, well, you started realizing the show prep doesn't just happen in the gym. It's 24 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so beyond, okay, so she obviously was kind of steering you straight. What was there an over, I mean, I don't even know if you remember because it's obviously been a while. was there an actual, did you guys discuss an actual diet philosophy or, was this just so new to you? She was just saying, eat this, don't eat that, and just do as you're told. Was there an actual structure here?
Well, here's the thing. I should put this in perspective. So with these fitness shows, if you've ever watched one of them, the fitness models are usually anywhere from 170 to 190 shredded. So the common denominator with these male fitness models are they all have abs. You may see a guy win a show who doesn't have a great chest or great calves, but you'll never, ever see a guy win one of these shows who's not shredded and ripped. So these guys all come on stage with six packs, eight packs, low 4% body fat. So that was my number one focus, to get on stage with abs. I honestly didn't care if I lost all my muscle. I didn't care if I was too light. I just wanted to make sure I had abs. That was like the driving force. That was the only thing I'd figured out for that show. So, you know, she started telling me a lot of stuff on, you know, shit. And she had a coach herself. So I was taking, I guess, advice through, you know, what she told me based on what her coach told her. And, you know, it was a lot. I think I did way too much cardio and I was, eating way too little fuel because I didn't need to lose a lot of fat. I ended up going down from 190 to 170. So I was like skinny on stage. I actually looked at the pictures and I cringed. So the whole push was to get lean. Yeah.
So you lost weight, but you didn't necessarily take off as much fat as you wanted.
Yeah, no, I mean, I looked at my, I mean, I had abs. I mean, my abs looked awesome on stage, but means, you know, my upper clavicular area, my chest, my arm, my shoulders. I mean, I was, you know, I didn't look that, you know, I was pretty small.
Not as thick as you wanted to be.
Definitely not, no.
And okay, and so did you have a defined time frame, like a 10, 12, 16? I know guys kind of have them, at least the guys I've ever worked with, either take a 12, 14, or 16-week, quote, run at it, and that's sort of,
yeah,
when you start designing it. Like, did you have that, like a chunk of time where you're like, this is week one to however many
yeah,
to the show?
So I remember it was 12 weeks, and that was probably another lesson. I didn't need even 12 weeks to get ready. So I kind of just started doing what I heard everybody else was doing, early morning cardio, lots of it, weights in the evening time. And it wasn't really personalized or customized to my body or what I needed to do. So, yeah, I guess I just took a shotgun approach and threw everything at my body that I heard I should be doing and was hoping that one of those variables would get me the abs I wanted. So I did get the abs. So something within that whole ingredient list worked, but I can't tell you exactly. I wasn't managing a lot of those variables very well. So I know I was doing too much cardio. I know I wasn't taking in enough calories, and I know I could have stayed a lot fuller and harder if I had a more science-based approach to it.
So you could almost say that you sort of you got your goal, and with the limited information you had, you got the abs you were looking for, but along the way, you sacrificed too much mass, you think?
Definitely.
Right. Well, but at least you got the thing you were after, right?
Yeah.
And I totally understand what you're saying and like, this is your first show, and at the first show, the last thing you want to do is show up not lean enough. I mean,
yeah.
Being lean enough is always the key to all of these,
all of these shows.
And then as you advance, then it's being lean and having the size and having the shape. Like, as you advance, they're just assuming you're going to be lean enough all the way through. I mean, you don't even get on stage if you're not lean enough.
Absolutely.
Okay, so then looking back at this, so from your perspective, now did you even, and I know you and I have just talked about this earlier, and this might be the critical point of the take-home message from this first show, did you even keep track of everything in a spreadsheet somewhere where you can reference your notes?
Nope, I didn't do any of that. I did have our mutual friend Patrick McGuire come over like 8 days before the show and write me out exactly what to do the final 7 days for some carb depletion and carb loading and water cutting and stuff. So I read up a lot on that, and I was fascinated with that. And, you know, looking back on it, you know, now 6 years later, before my coach writes the carb deplete and carb load, he needs to know everything I've been doing leading up to that. And I remember, you know, not having, you know, Pat didn't know what I did for 12 weeks. So he just kind of told me, well, cut your carbs and eat this, and then, you know, load up on these carbs and, you know, do this. But so there wasn't any flow from the first 12 weeks into the final few days. So wasn't consistent or synergistic at all. So,
yeah, you know, I get what you're saying. It was the, well, let's just hope this works because we're not really sure where you're coming from.
Yeah, exactly. This is what worked for me. So, you know, that's probably one of the biggest things people can take away from this particular interview. I know in the second one, I learned a lot from this first one. The third interview we're going to do, I'm going to be able to tell you exactly why I did everything. Mm-hmm. And, I'm going to sound like a different person being interviewed in the third one because, right now, you know, I mean, I'm just telling you exactly how it was. You know, I didn't track anything, and I believe, and I'm a huge believer in this, and a quote that says, what can be managed, what can be measured can be managed. And I didn't do any of that. So I didn't take a lot, you know, I guess the big take home message from this first show was I didn't really gain a lot of intelligence about why everything actually happened. And that's your biggest, advantage for going into your next show, into your next transformation, is knowing what worked and knowing what didn't work. I definitely know that I did too much cardio. I was doing cardio 6 days a week in the morning for, I think, 40 to 50 minutes, high intensity. So that was overkill. I probably put my levels in the toilet, and that's probably why I wasn't even anabolic any of the time.
You're just sort of in suspended animation for the 12 weeks.
It's pretty much so. I guess So that was one thing. And I do remember my diet revolving around a lot around what I would call lazy style meals. So, you know, having that peanut butter instead of avocado, or having olive oil instead of mixed nuts, you know. So I was always, you know, having tuna instead of like a higher quality form of fish, eating the same forms of protein meal after meal. So not, you know, incorporating more variety. So there was a lot. I took a very simplistic approach, I guess you could say, to my contest prep. And it was primarily reflected from the information I was reading and who I was, you know, I basically worked with what I had in front of me. So I've definitely advanced quite a bit since then.
Sure. And your story does sound somewhat typical from my experience for people with their first shot at it. Most people have the passion to do it and don't necessarily know exactly what it is going to be, but they're just going to do it anyways. So they go.
Right.
And like you said, you're kind of eating jars. You're eating out of jars and cans a lot, and you're not really, it's almost because you're not really sure what you can sub in.
Yeah.
So you kind of default to the blandest, like you said, laziest, boring diet, because you're almost afraid, being like, oh, I don't know what else fits, so this is all I can do right now.
Yeah, and I want to reassure everybody listening that I always find that bodybuilding is one of the most interesting sports in the world, because the fans of the sport look up to the competitors to tell them what to do. And you don't see that in professional soccer or football or hockey. I can't email my favorite soccer player and find out how he got ready for the World Cup. But you can do that in the bodybuilding world. Like the fans expect the bodybuilders to tell you how to eat and train, and it's very hard. I always get disappointed when I hear a lot of pro bodybuilders, and even I don't want to offend anybody, but even when I'm backstage with a lot of the competitors and I ask them, you know, why'd you do that? Not to like say they're right or wrong, but just to be curious. I'm just curious to know their logic. And most guys can't give you an in-depth or intelligent answer to why they do anything. And it's just like, it's all very generic things that you've heard before. And that was me in my first show. So I was the guy who couldn't really give you an in-depth or intelligent response to why I did anything, to how I looked. But people were asking me, because I looked a certain way, you know, I like I said, of all the ingredients I threw together, some of the ingredients ended up working. I just can't tell you which one.
So you wouldn't have been a whole lot of help to somebody at that point.
Right. I couldn't repeat the recipe for myself. And that's, I guess, the goal for us physique athletes is to learn the, I mean, you know, that's the difference between the champion bodybuilders in the world and in the amateurs, is the champions can tell you exactly why the majority of them, at least, can tell you exactly why they're doing, and they've mastered this. You know, it's become an art almost. So they know, they track everything. So that's kind of my goal with these shows, is to become smarter with my own body, because that's the neat thing about these shows. I don't have to worry about anybody else but my own body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you brought up a good point. I don't think people realize that physique competitors in general, like no matter what category you're in, usually fumble their way through their first four or five shows before they even have a clue how to get actually really ready.
Mm-hmm.
Like most people make mistakes along the way, and then they were like, yep, I'm never making that mistake again the next time. And then they, you know, and five, six shows later, that's when they really got it. And I think a lot of pros, they don't really get it till they're almost all the way pro card level, and then they're like, I think I got this now.
Yeah, and even the pros, you know, my coach is an IFB pro, and you know, he had four shows at the first half of 2011. And I think he said something like he almost nailed one of them. And, you know, he was happy with all of his results because he learns and he gets better every show. But, you know, to what they use this term called nailing it, or to dial it in to perfection. And it's really like, if you can do it, it's different every time. Like, there's so many factors, because it's not like I just do this, do that, and it works every time.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that people don't really understand, is it is different every time. I think that's a good place to leave it for now, and then we'll pick up with your next round of shows in the next interview.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. So for Vince Damani, I'm John Barman, and that's the first of three interviews with Vince, and that's your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.